anybody like a copy of God's Word? It is offered to you here this afternoon freely, and without any cost or any obligation to you, sir, if you'd like one. The Word of God, of course, is so very important, you know, that it's the only instruction manual available to us to reveal things divine to us, you know, knowledge of God, knowledge of yourself, you know, what you are truly like, the rock from which you are hewn, and of course to bring you to, hopefully, this is the end of the matter, to bring you to faith, that is to believe these things are written down. God has committed wholly to writing that which He would have us to know. And of course, it is, as the Bible itself says, infallible, because inspired of God, and therefore reliable. The only writing, of course, really that is reliable, that you can trust, not the mutterings, incoherent mumblings of other religious bodies and organizations, but the Bible alone is the Word of God written, and is offered freely to you here this afternoon, a copy of the New Testament in its entirety, yours for the taking, freely and without any obligation to you. Read and be instructed in the things of God. In the Bible, of course, you'll find what is referred to as known as the Ten Commandments. There's ten of them, and they are a summary. It's not the entirety, but it's a summary of God's law, the law of which is summed up in the words of Jesus Christ, the only Savior. He says the law of God is summed up in this, that we should love God and that we should love our neighbor. And of course, the fact is that we have done neither, none of us, and so therefore we are all guilty before God, and we are in need of being rescued, saved from the guilt of that sin, from the transgression itself, and of course from its ultimate consequences. That's why God, in His loving kindness and great mercy, sent His Son Jesus Christ into the world. But the Bible, you see, of course, is the record of all that. You see, without the Bible, it's absolutely necessary, friends. Without the Bible, you see, you cannot know God intimately, lovingly, and forgivingly. Oh, you know that God is, we all do. You look at the created order, and of course, well, even there you see a testimony to man's fallenness, because you see, even your environment is hostile against you. You come out in a lovely, beautiful spring morning, and you look at the created order, and you say, oh yes, there must be a God. But then autumn comes, and things start to decay, and then winter comes, and everything's absolutely dead, you know. Or you're flying across the Atlantic Ocean, and an electric storm hits your aircraft, and it plunges into the Atlantic Ocean. Or you swim in the water of Australia and a shark bites you to death, you know. It's a testimony. The created order, you see, is a revelation of the wrath of God because of man's sin. But the Bible, you see, all this, well, because you see, because we have sinned, you know. We've broken God's law, but not just that, we're sinners by nature because of Adam's sin, our first parent, his sin, you see. He began to get children in his own likeness, his own sinful likeness, and down through the generations it goes, and so we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sinful nature, sinful practice, the whole shebang, we're all short through, in thought, in word, and in action. So that's why you need a Savior. But of course, case you're not convinced of that, the law is given to us, the commandments of God, to teach us, you know, what manner of sinners it is that we truly, really are. By the law is the knowledge of sin. And the law, as I said, is summed up in those Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. There's only one God. There can only be one God. Else they'll be fighting one another for supremacy. Friends, there's only one God, one creator, one lawgiver, one judge, and one who would save you. And that's the God of the Bible, the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the true and living God. And his law is summed up here. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so it goes on, you see. Those first four commandments given to us are all, you see, our duty towards God. But then there follows another six. Because remember, the sum of God's law, according to Jesus, love for God, that's the first four, and then love for your neighbor, that's the remaining six, you see? And the first of those six says this, that honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now you see, that's not just about your natural parents. Of course it is. Not to obey your parents, not to honor, not to reverence, not to respect your parents. Young people, you listening to this? Not to respect your parents, but then that includes adults too, with very elderly parents. Parents, you see, are to be respected by their children. If you have not done that, all of your days, you know, and all of your family life, then that makes you a breaker of that commandment along with all the others. And you might say, well, you know, I've kept one of those. Maybe I've broken one or two, you know, or maybe you claim you've only just broken one. But the Bible says if you've broken one, you've broken them all, because you see the unity of God's commands binds them all together, and the unity that holds them all together is love, you see, because it was in love that God gave us those commandments for our protection, our instruction, our knowledge, that we might come to realize just what kind of rotten sinners we are and how we need to be forgiven. And how we can be pointed to and led to Jesus Christ and know the forgiveness of our sins, be right with God, and of course, fit one day for heaven. So like I say, it's not just your natural parents, but of course, anyone really, anyone who is superior to you in authority, governors, school teachers, and so on. But of course it does, you know. You see, if you don't learn this commandment, and you don't learn to obey this commandment, when you're young, you know, alongside your natural parents, well, you're going to be in trouble when it comes to any authority at all. And I dare say, as you look at our society today, and you see the rebellious attitude, the anti-authoritarian attitude amongst young people, not all of them, thank you, thankfully, but many of them, they exist, you know, in the most rebellious, awful, disrespecting way towards their natural parents. And it's little wonder that when they get to the dizzy heights of their teens, it's little wonder, you know, that they don't obey schoolmasters, that they don't obey the police, the courts, and the state, or anybody else, let alone God. But you see, if you don't learn this in your youth, to obey God's commandments, and this one in particular, to honor thy father and mother, if you don't reverence your natural parents, you certainly will not reverence God. But maybe for some of us who are a bit older, maybe perhaps we did not teach our children such a commandment. Perhaps maybe we neglected our duty in this matter. Then that makes us just as guilty as hell as the children themselves in their rebellious attitudes and anti-authoritarian status. So honor thy father and mother. You see, it becomes, when you begin to think about the outworking of this commandment and disregard of it, well, the implications for men and women, individuals, for families, and of course, well, for a society at large, and the world at large even, well, the implications, I tell you, are far-reaching. Far, far-reaching. So it's all an authority, you know, not just family, the church and the state, the government. As long as that is, of course, you know, that family members, you know, natural parents are not telling you, commanding you to go against what God has revealed. Or the church for that matter. Because all can be wrong. And of course the state, the government too. I mean, in our own day and generation, we find our own government legislating for things that are totally contrary to the Word of God. So when it comes to that, you see, well, the state, I'm afraid, has to be resisted. God's Word, you see, God's commandments, this is the supreme authority, the ultimate authority. It has to be, friends. Otherwise, you see, you deny that this is the Word of God, you deny that this is God's divinely inspired Word, then, well, you're left with no ultimate authority. It's anybody's authority, you know? The state's authority, but which one? Russia's, America's, Britain's, whose? You know? Your opinion, my opinion, his opinion, her opinion. Who says it's wrong to murder? Why is it wrong to murder? Well, evolution says it's not wrong. Evolution says it's okay to murder. Evolution says that's survival of the fittest. Evolution says it's okay, by implication I mean, says it's okay for a man to rape a woman. Why? Survival of the fittest. You have no basis. You have no justifiable basis in evolution for ethics, for morality, for any standard. So if you're an evolutionist, if you're an atheist so-called, you know, when people come burgling your house, when people come raping your wife, when people come murdering you, you've got no complaint. It's just survival of the fittest. And well, I guess you need to learn to be the stronger. But you see, friends, you've got no ultimate authority. You've got no power base. If you deny that the Bible is the Word of God, that the commands are fully authoritative from God, His inspired Word. It is the ultimate authority, you see. It saves us, you see, from squabbling together. Who says it's wrong to murder your parents? Who says it's wrong for you to lie? Who says it's wrong for you to rebel against your teachers, against all authority? No, not your parents, not the state, God and God alone. Honor thy father and mother. Respect, reverence, you see, for those in authority over you, so long, of course, as long as they are not going and commanding contrary to the Word of God. But it's a reverence, don't you know? Not just outwardly. Well, you know, I'll do what she tells me, but I don't like it. It's a reverence in the heart, you see. You have not obeyed the commandment unless you have done it from the heart with love in your heart for your parents, for the authority. But this you cannot do because you're a fallen sinner. You do not have love in your heart. You do not have love for God. You do not have love for your neighbor because you were conceived and born in sin. So this is impossible with you. You might say, well, I'll do it, you know. I'll grip my teeth. I'll get my tongue between my teeth. I won't say a word. And I'll do what they tell me, but I'll do it with grinding teeth. That's not obeying the commandment. Any of the commandments. You see, their very basis is love. If it's not done in love, it has to be done inwardly as well as outwardly. Honor thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. And of course, in word too, how you speak. How you speak of the authorities. Friends, are we not all guilty? Yourself and myself alike. Are we not all guilty? Have we not all spoken And do we not even do it? Maybe we've even done it today. Spoken against authority. Parents, natural parents, the state, the schoolmaster, the policeman. Disrespect, you see, in word. Maybe cussing them even. And who knows, maybe cussing them in God's name, in the name of Jesus Christ. That would be blasphemy as well, would it not? Don't you see, friends? We're all guilty to a man, to a woman. There's none of us escape. There's none of us honored father and mother as we ought to do. In heart and word and of course in deed too. It means obeying. It means actually doing. When father says do this, you do it. You do it with love in your heart. And of course, when the state, when the church, when the policeman, when the court, whoever it be, who God has placed in authority over you, says do this, a lawful command, it is for you to do, to obey. Do this and live, says God. But again, dear friends, we've not all done it. None of us have done it. We've all broken God's commandments. Every single one of them, thrashed them underfoot, guilty to a man, to a woman, and in need of God's rescue plan, in need of God's redemption. But you see, this is what the commandments were given for. To point us, you see, to show us our sin, and to point us to the one that we need, even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world to die on a cross, that you might be forgiven, and that you might be made right with God. That's the ultimate purpose, you see, of those commandments given to us. And then, of course, it's a willing obedience to God's lawful commandments. Willing, you see, but of course not willing to obey any authority. In this our day and generation, in our land, is it not? Not willing at all to obey authority. We don't like it. You know, we put a sign up in the grass and it says, you know, you shall not walk on the grass. And what happens? 5 minutes later, everybody's walking all over the grass. It's a natural thing to do because we're natural born sinners. We got this rebellious streak in us. And so help us, you know. It's just our natural bias, our natural bent, you know, to go against authority, to go against that which is right. We defy the law, and we defy the law, the commandments of God. We defy this commandment of God, and therefore stand guilty before God, not willing to give God the obedience that He demands. Submission to corrections, you know. That's one of the things that the Bible's given to us for, it says, to correct us, to reprove us, tell us off. And sometimes we need to be told off, don't we? All of us. But nobody likes to be told off, but that's what the Word of God does. You read for yourself and see. And I tell you, it won't be long before you find something touching your heart, something you don't like, something that makes you to prickle, you know, because you're being reproved, you're being told what a nasty, vile person you are. Here you are thinking you were good. Here you are thinking you were the best dude in the school. And you learn to your dismay and disappointment that God says you have a heart deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, that you're absolutely vile, depraved. It's the reproval of God's word, but given to us also to correct us. To correct us. Those commandments, you see, they govern a man's conscience, whoever he be, religious or otherwise, no matter what his religion be, this is the word of God, commandments of God. And they're given to correct us, to show us where we're wrong. Your conscience is not fallible sometimes. You can be suffering from guilt, but it may be a false guilt. Your conscience perhaps needs to be educated. So you say, well, how can my conscience be educated? Well, you come to God's commandments. They'll educate you. But they'll reprove you. They'll tell you when you're wrong. And they'll correct you. if you are willing to be corrected. And of course, to instruct you in the way of righteousness. To teach you, again, you see, this is the sum of the matter. It's a schoolmaster. It's a school. Oh, I'm done with school. I don't want to go back there, you see. But you have to. It's God's school. It's a schoolmaster to teach you what kind of a sinner you are and how much that you desperately, desperately need Jesus as your Savior. It's in love that God gave you these commandments, just as in love He gave His only begotten Son to die on a cross that you might be delivered from your lawless deeds, your law-breaking ways, and that you might be reproved, corrected, and instructed in the way of righteousness. And of course, the way of righteousness is through God's Son, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. But of course, contempt for God's commandments, you say, oh, trash. Oh, no, you say, this is rubbish. That's holding God in contempt. That's blasphemy again. That's taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Contempt, rebellion against God's commandments, honor thy father and mother, that is contempt, that is rebellion. And it's because of your iniquities, your rebellion against God, that you're separated from God in time now and will be for all eternity if you don't get saved, if you're not born again, if you don't repent, if you don't believe the gospel, lost and lost forever. If you go on in your contemptuous attitude and rebellion against your Maker, against the Almighty. But of course, the government, the state can be just as unlawful as anybody else with its legislation for things that are unlawful, contrary to God. And of course, to obey such as that would be to sin. It would be better for you were they to put you in jail. Were you to obey their enactments, you know? Because it's not really legislation, it's not really lawful, it's only an enactment. If it's contrary to God's word, contrary to God's commandments, contrary to what God has revealed. So you see, friends, there is a time, there is a place when you have to obey God rather than the state. And you have to let them lock you up. And maybe, as it is in some countries today, such as Saudi Arabia, and other countries too, where you would maybe even be caught for resisting the powers of the state. But you only obey the state as far as God's word permits you to. The state, you see, can be guilty of this commandment, honor thy father and mother, in demanding of its citizens, commanding its citizens, that which is unlawful, contrary, that is, to God's commandments, God's word. The state, you see, is not to seek its own will. The state, you see, is placed there by God. Any government in any country is there by God's authority and is there, of course, not to seek its own ends, not to seek its own agenda, as it were, not there for its own profit. You know, as we find many politicians in many parts of the world today, they just seem to be filling their own pockets with more and more of your money and my money. A democracy? No, I think we live in a kleptocracy. They're a bunch of thieves, you know, with all this taxation, even down to local government here in Stoke-on-Trent. All the money that they steal out of our pockets. That's not what they're in government for. That's not what the authority has been given to them for. Not to seek their own. Not for their own profit, not for their own gain, and not for their own glory, not to glory in sin, but to glorify God, to obey God. So those who do not obey the authority, honor father and mother, they are guilty of sin, and they are worthy of death as a result of that. But then the state, the authorities, father and mother, commandment too. It cuts both ways, you see. God gives us commandments to protect us all, not just those in higher power, but those, us common folk, us street merchants too. And then, of course, when the state commands that which is just outright evil with its injustices and with its all its legislation for such uncleanness, which is almost unmentionable in the streets amongst fair men and women today. Friends, what can we say about such a government as we have today? I have to say, friends, hellbound to a man and woman. So they need to be saved. We need to pray for those in authority over us. We're commanded to do that also. Pray for them that God would grant them repentance, that God would grant them faith, that God would humble them. Mrs. May, the Queen, her cabinet members, members of parliament, local councillors, that God would humble such. But you too, because you too are guilty of breaking this commandment of God. Honor thy father and mother. Friends, we are all guilty of breaking every one of these commandments. Every one of us. From the top of society to the bottom, all guilty. Religious, irreligious, it matters not, friends. And may I tell you, friends, religion is not the answer. Religion will not save. Religion will not put you right with God. Religion will not bring forgiveness from God. Religion will not get you favor with God. Religion will not get you anything from God at all. It will not put the life of God into your soul, the love of God into your heart. It will not change your desires. It will not make you want to obey God's commandments. The contrary, friends, it will harden you, make you more cynical. No, friends, it's a man you need, the man Christ Jesus. It's a Savior, it's Jesus Christ that you need. It's a person that you need. You need to be born again. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Your guilt needs to be atoned for. Your shame removed, your sin, your rebellion, your anarchy quelled, miraculously changed by the power of Jesus Christ. How you doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, are you Christian? You're a Christian, man?
Yeah? Catholic.
You're not?
I'm Catholic.
Oh, yeah. You're not? Why?
Not.
Why are you not? Why not?
I'm a Sophiest.
A what?
I'm a Sophiest.
Oh, really? What's one of them?
Somebody believes that God is evil.
What?
He exists, but I think he's malevolent.
Say that again?
I think he exists, but I don't think he's good.
What? Tell me again. What do you call it?
Sophism.
What was that? What's that called? What is it? What is it?
The thing is,
it means you believe God exists, but you don't believe he's good.
I think it's just that not enough people realize that Satan's real.
Yeah, that's a wicked thought to begin with, because the Bible says God is good. Why doesn't it make sense?
But why would God?
Come a bit closer, please.
Why would God, who is God omnipotent?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
If God is omnipotent,
yes,
he's not bound by anything, including logic.
Of course he is.
So you're saying that God is subject to logic?
Yeah. He says to you in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now and let us reason together. Because God made you a rational creature. God is completely rational, and he requires you to be completely rational, but you're not, because your reason has fallen.
I think you've misunderstood what I was saying. What I'm saying is, if God himself is subject or guided or limited by logic, that would mean that he has limitations and therefore isn't omnipotent.
God doesn't have any.
No. God's the creator of logic.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He gave us a gift of logic.
Exactly.
So where does the law of logic come from?
God.
Huh?
God,
yeah,
made logic.
Yeah. So you accept that there is a God?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how do you know what he's like? You say he's not good. How do you know that? How do you know that?
Well, because the world he made isn't fully good.
That's fallen. It's fallen. It was good in the beginning. is fallen, man fell into sin, and the whole creation is cursed. I was just saying earlier on to the people, even your environment is hostile against you because of man's sin, yeah? You go to Australia, a snake or a shark will bite you, you fly across the Atlantic, a bolt of lightning hits the aeroplane and you crash into the Atlantic, yet the whole of creation, yeah, in its fallen state testifies against your rebellion, your sin against God, yeah? You can't know God. You can't look at creation and tell me what God is like, because it's fallen. It's fallible. Yeah. You need an infallible record. You need a testimony from God as to what He's like, and that's given to you in the Bible and the Bible alone. You won't even get it from the Pope, madam. Only from the Bible. Only from the Bible. The Bible. The Bible, sir.
Nothing shows your faith in God like 4 inches of bulletproof glass.
That's nonsense.
Don't disagree.
That's nonsense.
No,
that's,
I'm talking about the Pope.
That's nonsense. Have you ever read the Bible?
No, I'm talking about the Pope.
Have you ever read the Bible?
Yeah, Mum's got loads.
Has she?
Yeah. Oh, King James, I believe.
Well, get one and read one.
I've got all sorts.
That's a King James. That's a King James.
Yeah. No,
superior.
I was talking about the Pope.
What?
That's my passion.
I was talking specifically about the Pope because you mentioned him.
Well, we're not talking about him. That's religion.
Okay, fine.
That's religion.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's religion.
So,
it's Jesus that you need. What's your first name?
Daniel.
Daniel. Read Daniel in the Old Testament. He was a good guy.
He was the one who tamed the lion, wasn't he?
Yeah. Listen, Daniel, read the Word of God for yourself. That's God's revelation. That tells you what God is like. And don't come back telling me He's not good, because He is good.
In the Old Testament, He actually does say, I create evil. I create fortune, I create calamity.
That's providence. He's talking about providence. You have to learn what it means, what the words mean, Daniel. He's talking about bad providence. There are bad providences. Why are there bad providences? Because you live in a fallen world. You live in a world that's out of sync with God.
Why does He allow that to happen, though?
Pardon?
Why does He allow that?
Because man's responsibility. It's man that brought sin into the world.
Because of free will.
Pardon?
Because of free will.
He doesn't have free will anymore. The only freedom you've got is to sin, Daniel.
Yeah, and
until Jesus Christ sets you free.
Freedom.
Until Jesus Christ sets you free. It's not religion you need. It's Jesus you need. It's the Son of God you need. God is good. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That is goodness. That is goodness beyond anything you've ever dreamed of, Daniel.
Considering that God is omnipotent, then just giving off some humans down a cross is a very cheap miracle.
Cheap? That is blasphemy. That is blasphemy to the utmost. That is dreadful, Daniel. You really do need to get educated. Read the Bible, Daniel, please.
But consider God, when you compare it to God's omnipotence, and everything must be infinitely easy for God to do.
To save you.
Yeah.
And He's done everything He possibly could. He's provided you with everything He could possibly do to get you back to Him. And His desire is that you should be back with Him. As surely as I live, saith the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, that is, that men die in their sin, even you, but that you should live. Turn. He says, why will ye die when you can live, when you can have eternal life? Daniel, you're...
Why doesn't He tell me? He knows me.
There you go, read for yourself and see.
He's left His word.
Yeah.
By limitations.
Read and see. Daniel, you are in a state of rebellion, son. Rebellion, son. Rebellion.
No, Dan does get very confused.
Rebellion.
I don't understand what He's doing.
Well, you never will until you believe. You don't understand to believe. You have to believe to understand. When you believe, then you'll understand. Submission, surrender to God is what's required of you.
Surrender to fate, if that counts.
To what?
To fate, if that counts.
No. No, no, sir. No. There is no such a thing as fate. There's God's providence.
Isn't that the same thing?
No. Definitely not. Because God, you see, is an intimate, caring, loving being. That you cannot find anywhere. That knowledge you cannot get anywhere but in the Bible. So I'll come back again. Read the Bible, Daniel.
Okay.
Read the Bible.
Okay, King James, I guess.
Yeah, yes, but anyone you like. Anyone you choose. But that is the best. Sorry,
Satan's
I'm just...
Satan's running out of time now, isn't he?
Yeah, time is short.
Yeah, I believe she's only got about a year and a half until she has to walk out.
Daniel. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Yeah. Have a good day, guys. Eh?
Yeah, you too.
Nice talking.
Yeah, it's nice to hear somebody.
Okay. Thank you. No, no, no. You don't mean that. You don't mean that, son. You do not mean that. Friends, like I say, it's a person that you need, and his name is Jesus, and he came into the world to save sinners like you and I, that we might humble ourselves under his mighty hand, that we might acknowledge our rebellion, our breaking of his commandments, of which we just had an excellent example of a rebellious, anarchist attitude towards the Almighty, towards God, towards authority. These are the things you see. Pardon?
Which God?
Pardon?
Which God?
There's only one, son.
Which one's that?
There's only one. The God of the Bible.
What?
Yep. Read the Bible, son. Read the Bible. Like I say, friends, it's the answers. You know, all the answers are here. The ones that you need. The Word of God. Law of God. The Gospel of God. The law that drives a man to Jesus Christ. And the Gospel that draws men in God's love to into the arms of the only Savior, God, triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Father who sent His Son, and the Son who came in perfect obedience to His Father, showing you an example of what it means to keep this commandment, honor thy father and mother. He came and He obeyed to the letter out of a heart full, brimming with love for His Father, accomplishing redemption, salvation for men and women such as you and I.